You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about new Wisconsin legislative maps with John Johnson from Marquette. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'd love for you to go back a little bit to the research you did and how the results of the 2022 election would have looked different under some of these different maps. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So in the plan that the legislative Republicans put forward, the partisan balance would have been the same. 64 Republican seats, most likely 35 for Democrats is what my model predicts. Under the plan put forward by Will, that drops to 60 Republican seats out of the 99. And under the other plans, the number of Democratic seats ranges from 46 to 49. Again, 50 making up a majority. Although it's, you know, I do want to note that Governor Evers himself did win a majority of the seats under most of those Democratic submitted plans. Actually, I think all of them. The fact that my model shows Republicans possibly hanging on to a majority in a year like 2022 is because of the way that their legislative candidates have usually punched above their weight, I guess you could say, in those local races.
It's important to note you're not predicting anything for 2024, but how do you think your scorecards for these different submissions could give people food for thought to imagine how that election could be different than the midterms?
The way I like to say it is think in your own mind about how you think 2024 will be different, how much of an advantage, if you think it will help Democrats, that will be. And, you know, add those percentage points to the numbers that we see from 2022. Often, you know, political scientists talk about uniform swings happening. If one part of the state moves towards the Democrats, it's likely that the other parts will move towards the state in a similar way. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes places move in different directions. We've seen a lot of that happen since 2016 in, you know, the suburbs and rural areas and things like that. But in general, the sort of political environment moves either better for Republicans or better for Democrats. And so if you think 2024 is going to be a good year for Democrats, then, well, I bet a Democrat would be pretty excited about five of these maps at least.
Hmm. How much more competitive could we stand to see these districts get? I mean, obviously, it depends on which maps we end up with. But it sounds like there's, you know, it's not going to take away the majorities that we see, but narrow them.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that in a good year for Democrats, I think it would deliver majority control of the assembly to them. And in fact, even using the results from the 2022 election, two of the submitted plans suggest that in elections like that, the Senate would actually tilt Democratic. Of course, the state Senate takes two election cycles to entirely turn over, so it may take more time to see those changes come into effect.
What do you think? I mean, is it a good thing to have more competitive districts than what we have now? What do you think?
Over the last decade, under the old maps, I think the number of incumbents who lost re-election you could count on one hand. It scarcely ever happened. And I think a situation where legislators aren't worried about losing their election, who feel like they have it locked up almost no matter what they do in office, that doesn't seem good for democracy to me.
Do you think that's tied to the maps, though? Or do you think it's more because incumbents are hard to beat?
Incumbents are hard to beat, but the edge is only worth a couple points. You can measure it here in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's partly because incumbents have an advantage, but more so because there's very few competitive seats under the current map. Very few at all where either party has a chance of winning. And so these new maps, most of them create far more competitive seats. They create a number of seats where Ron Johnson carried a majority of the vote and Governor Evers at the same time in the 2022 election. And to me, that's sort of the essence of a tipping point seat.
I'm curious about Wisconsin compared to other states. We've heard before that Wisconsin is the most, if not, or one of the most gerrymandered states in the country. Why is that? I mean, how did we get here in the first place?
Well, redistricting in the way we know it today began in the 1960s after the Baker versus Carr decision required that legislative districts have equal populations. And since then, the courts have usually drawn the map in Wisconsin because it's been uncommon for a state legislature and governor to agree. Now, 2011 was one of those times when we actually had both chambers of the legislature and the governor controlled by one party, in that case, the Republicans. And so they were able to draw a remarkably successful gerrymander. And gerrymandering has become more powerful because we're able to draw maps more efficiently using the computing power that's now available. And also, perhaps even more importantly, because voters themselves are far more predictable. It was much harder to draw a gerrymander 20 or 30 years ago because voters would frequently split their tickets between Democrats and Republicans, and they might have been more likely to change their preferred party from one cycle to another. Today, that happens far less frequently, so voter behavior is far more predictable.
What are you going to be watching for after MAPS consultants submit their final reviews of the submissions to the courts?
I'll be curious to see if the Supreme Court, on the advice of their consultants, finds that one of these maps does what they're looking for, or if they'll, for some reason, be dissatisfied with all of them. I suppose they could ask their consultants to provide a plan of their own. That's the kind of work that the consultants they've hired have done in other states.
How quickly is all of this going to happen? What's the process, and what, you know, what's the timeline looking like?
According to the Wisconsin Election Commission, they need to know for sure what the final districts will be by mid-March. The deadline here is really the partisan primary in August. Candidates need to know far before the primary which district they live in so they can decide if they want to run or not, and then whose signatures they need to collect to get on the ballot.
What do you think about that timeline? Is it realistic?
It's basically what we had to do 2 years ago. The census was delayed by the pandemic, and so that data came out later than expected, and then there was litigation, and so the final districts weren't determined in Wisconsin until, I believe, March of 2022. Now, one of the criteria that the court has asked for is that plans avoid splitting wards as much as possible, and so that's something that I think should make lives a little easier for local elections administrators. They'll have to take account of the new districts, but hopefully they won't have to change the actual units at which they administer elections very much.
How come that request was made to not split the wards?
It's a part of the traditional redistricting criteria. Is an idea that maps should respect ward boundaries. Of course, based on a legal change about a decade ago in Wisconsin, now the final versions of wards are drawn after the districts are made. So it's not a hard and fast requirement, but it's definitely a best practice. And especially when you have a shortened deadline like this for getting new maps into place, anything you can do to make the logistics easier for the people who are actually administering the elections is a good thing.
Is there skepticism that any map will ever be fair in Wisconsin? I feel like I hear that from people. What is your sense?
Well, it's hard to know what fair means, right? Some people think a fair map is one that you draw without paying any attention to partisan outcomes, when you just follow these more neutral redistricting criteria. And it's clear that these maps, most of them at least, don't do that, that they're thinking explicitly about partisan balance. And that is indeed how the court said they would measure them. So another concept of fairness in maps is that you should explicitly try to create a map where the party that gets most of the votes will most likely get most of the seats. So I think you have competing definitions of fairness. And for those who hold to one definition, they'll just not be satisfied by the other.
Well, John, I want to thank you for sharing your work with us today. It's fascinating.
Thank you.
John Johnson is research fellow in the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University. We spoke with him today about the various submissions of the new legislative maps for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to consider as it weighs replacing our current maps. Coming up Monday on Central Time, the Justice Department released its analysis of the horrific school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, which raises questions about the police response. We'll hear from a criminologist and expert on mass shootings for perspective. That is coming up Monday here on Central Time.